Okay, let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Thank you for just loving us, Lord, being good to us. I thank you for a class who really is intentional about praying. You know, there was a time when people wouldn't want to ask for prayer because they didn't really think that that people would. And I know this group, and I know that they're fervent in prayer. I know that they're fervent in following you. And so, Lord, we do just lift things up to you. And we'll pray for Dwayne as he's got a surgery this coming Friday. I just pray that you just be with the doctors and the team as they go into that, and just things would go well. It'd be a quick recovery, and just be with the family as they walk through those things. Lord, we pray for the different things that are going on. Leanne's got some things going on tomorrow. Lord, we pray that, you know, these things would just fall out into your will, and that things would go well with that. Lord, we pray for the marriage conference that's coming up, and there's a lot of people that are going to be there, Lord, and sometimes people go to these things because it's just maintenance, and we want to make sure that we take care of what we have. But, you know, there's other times that people show up at these things, and it's a last-ditch effort. And so, Lord, you know the hearts, you know the circumstances, and Lord, we know that your word can heal things in an instant of time. And so, Lord, we do pray for that now. We pray that you would just allow the devil to just stay out of the way of things. There's a lot of moving parts going into this. We pray for Jeff and his wife, Erla, as they continue to get ready for being there, and we look forward to hearing from them and all the things that go into it. Lord, we pray for Pastor Brian even today as he's out. He's been preaching a marriage conference for a different church this weekend, and so he's preaching there today, and we pray for Pastor Jeff as he preaches here. And there's, you know, people in Passaic and preaching this morning, and in Dayton, and you know, we're filling the pulpit in a lot of places, Lord, and you've entrusted a lot to us at HBF. And so I pray that we're just fervent to just lay it all down at your feet. And so I pray you'd speak to us today as we get back into the book of Acts, that you would just really speak to us. You know, some of this stuff may seem mundane, and I know that we're really wanting to get to some of the quote unquote good parts, Lord, but really all the Bible is the good part. And so I pray that you would just speak to us, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. So if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Acts. We're going to, keep going. Where are we at here? All right. So the book of Acts, I do have to be done on time today. I really do. I have baptisms, so, you know, that would be awkward if I wasn't there. We'll be good. So today, if you're a title kind of person, you need a title, you can just title it Follow the Leader, and you'll understand why as we get there. But so in the first part of Acts chapter 1, we got into it a couple weeks ago. And it took us a couple of weeks to get through it, but the Bible didn't waste any time jumping into a lot of doctrine. Just in the first 11 verses, which, I mean, I didn't really even put this together till right now, but it's very coincidental, you know, because that's how God works, is in coincidences, not really. I've heard it said that you can find every major doctrine in the Bible in the first 11 verses of Genesis. And so every doctrine.
11 chapters.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It's not 11 verses, but 11 chapters. And then, you know, there's a lot of main doctrine just here in the beginning of the book of Acts. And so it's why I don't say things that just pop into my mind. Sometimes I have to have time to filter through them. But yes, you're correct. 11 chapters. But anyway, there was a lot of, you know, big stuff. It talked about baptism. It talked about the Holy Spirit. It talked about, you know, the restoration of Israel and, you know, Jesus coming, Jesus coming back. You know, some big things that, you know, people might not think, well, why is that in the very beginning of this book? Like, no, hey, how are you doing? It's just right into it, diving into it. And so he didn't waste any time getting into it. And so chapter 2 is what everybody is really longing to get to. I know if you know anything about the book of Acts, that's where we really start to get into some of the things that are like, now explain this one to me. And so I understand, you know, people want to hear about the day of Pentecost. They want to hear about why it's talking about you have to, you know, get baptized to get saved. And is that a contradiction in the Bible? And we'll get there. And no, by the way, it's not a contradiction in the Bible. There's a really clear explanation, and we'll get there when we get there. But chapter 2 is going to bring those things. But what happens in between? What happens in between this first 11 verses where there's a lot of doctrine, and then before we get to chapter 2 where, you know, the day of Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit falls, and, you know, well, let's just read it real quick, and we'll just kind of pick up where it's at. And so it says in verse 12, Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, then returned they, meaning the disciples that were with Jesus in the first 11 verses before Jesus ascends right in front of their face, right? You know, they watched him go into the clouds. And so it says, then they returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath day's journey. So it's a hike. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So the groups got large very quickly. And that's something I want you guys to notice as we walk through the book of Acts. Every time it kind of tells you how many people there are, because it gets big quick, right? And that's how the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be spreading the word and it should be growing. But it says there's 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, meaning Judas Iscariot, as he betrayed Jesus, and that's how he was crucified. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out, meaning he committed suicide after he realized what he had done, because it's just a messed up deal. We can go back and look at that at some other time, but we understand what happened to Judas, and so that's not really what this is about. And it says, verse 19, and it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that as the field is called in a proper tongue, Acidema, or how do you pronounce that? Here's the guy to ask right here. You'll have to explain how to pronounce this word to me later. I don't think that's it. So anyway, that is to say the field of blood. Sorry to put you on the spot. That's my bad, Tucker. For as it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate and no men dwelling therein. And his bishopric saw another take. Wherefore of these men, which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptisms of John, even to that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained. That's a key word, ordained, to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, which was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and their lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, so we see what's happening here. There's a lot of doctrine early on when Jesus is still there. He resurrects, and before we get to chapter 2, there's this order of business that needs to be taken care of. And this is the part of, really any organization that nobody really likes. It's like the business side of it. And like nobody really, does anybody really know that HBF has a board of directors? Like we know we have a pastoral team, but we have a board of directors and they take care of all the boring business stuff. Like they make sure that the money stuff is, they set the budget and like I have no desire to be on the board of directors, right? And so not that it's not a good thing to have. It's just I just don't understand those things, I guess. And so maybe one day I'll be mature enough to do something like that, but definitely not now. So anyway, it's like the business side of what is going on here. I didn't think you were going to be here today. Anyway, there he is. Sorry, that's what happens. When I'm not zoned in, I can squirrel out very quickly. And so, good to see you, bro. That's what I should have said. Hey, good to see you guys. That's today, man, I'm telling you. So anyway, there's this order of business to be taken care of. Jesus set up 12 apostles. And obviously, Judas Iscariot had fallen. And so Peter's like, hey, we need to take care of something. We need to replace him. There was a reason that Jesus had 12 of us. And if you really want to get doctrine about this whole thing, there's meaning in the book of Revelation about what the 12 disciples or apostles will be used for. But anyway, we don't need to get into all that. We'll get there at a different day. The whole point is Peter's saying we need to replace Judas. And so that's what this whole passage is about. And you might be like, okay, well, can we just get to chapter 2? Because does it really matter what the name of the 12th apostle is? I couldn't tell you the other 10. If I was to ask you, hey, name the 12 apostles, you know, a lot of you, and I'm not saying this, even me, myself, I might be able to name 6. And that's just don't know the names of some of those guys. And, you know, we just read through a lot of them, but you just don't memorize the name. Here, Britton's over here. He can probably do better than me. The list gets short pretty quickly after that, Peter, and he said Acts. Acts is not one of the apostles. So instead of just blowing through this passage to get to the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, let's point out some things about spiritual leaders from the text, right? Spiritual leaders. We see what happened, and, you know, the title is Follow the Leader. And so have you ever noticed, and I'm sure you have, how the Lord will use, like, a common theme together in your life? Like, it'll seem like it doesn't matter where you read in the Bible, it's the same common theme. It doesn't matter, like, if something is being talked about, it's like, it's the same thing. Why does this keep coming up? I didn't even realize this was something that I needed to know about. And there's these common themes that keep coming up. And so this week in particular, and I have no idea why, I kind of do now, looking back, because God knew where we were going in past point, I guess. But there's been this theme of spiritual leadership. And, you know, if you're doing our read through the Bible, there's been this theme of spiritual leadership this week. And there were several different times this week when, you know, Moses' spiritual leadership was challenged, right? And God was like, I ain't having it, right? Not here. I ain't having it over here. Does anybody else want to try? I mean, you know, how many times do I have to continue to establish this? And so, and then now I come to today and I'm getting ready to teach and I'm looking over this, you know, apostleship, and it's the same thing. It's this spiritual leadership. God doesn't mess around with spiritual leadership, His ordained spiritual leadership. God establishes an authority structure, and He doesn't mess around when people try to mess up it. Mess with it or go around it, right? This week in our reading, you know, Miriam and Aaron, they start, you know, murmuring about what was going on with Moses. And God was like, you want to see what can happen when you do this? And, you know, Miriam immediately, she's leprous. And, you know, Aaron, he's like, wait a minute, we shouldn't have done that. Right. And, you know, he could have done it to both of them. And then, you know, a couple chapters later, you got Korah and his 200 followers. And, you know, what's God do with them? The earth opens up and swallows not just them, but their entire families. You know, and just understand that your lack of following sometimes can eat up your entire family, right? It can destroy everything that you've got. And so, you know, even later on, we see, you know, David not trying to usurp the authority of Saul. You know, Saul's trying to kill him, and David's chasing, you know, running from him, and he even has the opportunity to kill Saul, and he's like, who am I to lay my hand on the Lord's anointed? And that we didn't read that this week, but I just thinking about spiritual authority, right? And even the family structure in our homes and in the local church, there's a structure, and God doesn't mess around when people try to usurp the structure of His authority. And so anyway, if God prioritizes spiritual leadership, then obviously we should too. So again, instead of just blowing through this, trying to get to chapter 2, I want to point out some things about spiritual leadership from this passage. And it's very quick because, again, there's not a ton of doctrinal stuff to see here. They were replacing Judas to make sure that they had 12 apostles. Okay? But it doesn't mean that there's nothing that we can learn from it. You know, especially when you compare it to the things that we've been reading. So here's what I've got today. I've got 7 things about spiritual leaders. Very quickly. I am going to get done. Tucker's teaching next week, so I'm going to be done. I'm excited to hear it. But there's a lot going on. So anyway, 7 things about spiritual leaders, just right here out of the text. They're very quick points. I don't have a ton to say about them, but they're right here. And so the first thing that we see in verses 12 to 14, it says, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room and abode with, you know, there's the whole list of the guys. I'm not going to read it again. These all continued, here's what I want to get to, with one accord in prayer and in supplication with the women and Mary and his mother, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The first thing that we see about spiritual leaders right here out of the text is spiritual leaders stay focused on spiritual things. Right? If you're looking for what a spiritual leader looks like, you're looking for somebody who stays focused on spiritual things. And you might be like, duh. Well, I'm just telling you, like, this is what we see these guys doing. What are they doing? When it points out what these guys are doing, it says they're of one accord. If you're looking for a spiritual leader, you know, if you're trying to find what that looks like, there's no schism. I'm telling you, if you were going to try to find some sort of schism in the pastoral team, you're going to have a hard time doing it because we're bought in, right? We're locked in with what Brian's doing, and we're coming alongside of him and ministering one with another, one to another. There's no schism. It says that they are of one accord. It says, what are they doing? It says that they're in prayer. That's spiritual leaders. They stay focused on spiritual things. If you're somebody who struggles to ever pray, you're going to struggle ever becoming a spiritual leader. I hate to be like that, but it's just the truth. They're praying. What are they praying about? Well, the things of the church, the things that they need to be lifting up. It doesn't say, what's the difference? Somebody should be able to tell me this. It's right out of D1. It says first their prayer and then their supplication. What's the difference between prayer and supplication?
I mean, we can reteach D1 in here if we need to. I'm just...
Supplication is asking for other people.
Amen. That's exactly right. Prayers of supplication are lifting up other people in prayer. Prayer would just be simply talking to the Lord, asking things for yourself, things that are going on in your life. But if it's a prayer of supplication, and notice that it doesn't put them together. It says that they're busy in prayer and supplication. They're separate. They're not only praying for the things of the church and the things that are going on in their life, like, hey, what are we going to do without Jesus here? They're praying for other people. They're lifting up other people's things that are happening. Those are supplication. And so that's what they're doing. Spiritual leaders stay focused on spiritual things. They're praying. They're praying about other people. It says that they're ministering together. To who? It says it says with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. There's a ministry all in itself to widows and to different things. And it doesn't say that these ladies are widows, but I'm sure that there are some there. And, we're always supposed to be ministering to the weakest in the body first. Now, I'm not saying that women are weak. Actually, women are much stronger than men in every way other than physically most of the time. Unless, I'm not even going to start listing names, but I don't want to leave somebody out. I just know there's a lot of people that are in the gym a lot, and so I ain't messing around with nobody. But the purpose is we are supposed to be ministering to those who are in the weakest state in the body. And so that's what they're doing. And so spiritual leaders, they stay focused on spiritual things. If you're looking for what a spiritual leader looks like, because that's what these guys are doing. They're trying to find who's going to replace Judas, who's going to take one of the 12 most important seats in the leadership of the church at the time, an apostleship, not just a disciple, but they're an apostle. That's a study all in its own, and what's the difference between, an apostle and just a disciple. But anyway, spiritual leaders stay focused on spiritual things. That's what they're doing. It doesn't say that, they're trying to figure life out, or they don't know what they're going to do now that Jesus is gone. It says right here, this is what we're doing. We're busy about, we're with one accord, with prayer and supplication, ministering together. Move on to verse 15 and 19. It says, and in those days, Peter has stepped into the leadership. You'll realize as you read through the early parts of the book of Acts, Peter is definitely the leader of what's going on in the early church. And it says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided unto them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us, and he obtained part of this ministry. Now, this man purchased a field with the word of his iniquity and falling headlong. So anyway, he kind of goes through what Jesus had done. I don't want to read all of it again. But so the second thing that you're going to see about spiritual leaders right here out of this thing is spiritual leaders, they grow as they lead. And you might be like, well, what do you mean by that? They grow as they lead. Peter, if you back up, and I don't have time to go there, or you can just look back. In John chapter 21 and verse 3, this is after Jesus was crucified, but before he had really showed himself back to the disciples many times, right? And so Peter's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? I was kind of the leader of the disciples. I mean, Jesus was obviously the leader, but what am I going to do? And in John chapter 21 and verse 3, and he says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, well, I guess we're going to go with you. He's like, I'm going to go back to what I know. And I hate to tell you, but he's not fishing for men, right? And you can read the story, and he's out there. They fish all night. They don't catch anything. And Jesus rolls up, in his glorified body. He's like, hey, have you caught anything? And they're like, who is this guy? They don't recognize him. And he's like, maybe try the other side of the boat. And they're like, really? Because we haven't tried the other side of the boat. We've tried every different angle of this thing. We ain't caught nothing. And they throw the net. It's so full that it breaks. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's the Lord. Well, no kidding. And it goes through the whole, John chapter 21 is really cool, but it goes through the, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You know, he's like, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And there's a ton to get into. Don't have time to get into all that. That's a really good study. But, Peter had an opportunity after Christ was crucified to really lead these guys, and he kind of just fell head first. He goes back to the old Peter, the old ways. It doesn't mean that he was, quite as worldly and fleshly, but he goes back to the worldly things. You know, what am I going to do to make money? And so here we find him in the beginning of the book of Acts. He's the obvious leader of the group, right? And in less than 40 days, right? Because we understand that, from the time Christ was crucified till the time that he ascended was somewhere about 40 days. And so somewhere in about 40 days or less from what he did in John chapter 21 to where we find him in the beginning of the book of Acts, he's taken some big steps in what it means to be a leader, right? Sometimes people think, oh, it's going to take years for me to really grow up in the Lord. No, it's just going to take one obedient decision and then another one on top of that one and then another one on top of that one. Now, the problem is some people try to take all of the obedient decisions all at once and it's overwhelming and they don't know what to do. God just wants you to do, right? Everybody be. God just wants you to do what he's called you to do today and start there. But spiritual leaders, they grow as they lead. And in less than 40 days, Peter, he's really grown up spiritually. We find him, instead of being like, well, Jesus, he's really gone now. I just watched him go up into the sky. What are we going to do now? Oh my gosh, the sky is falling. No, he's like, well, here's what we're going to do. Huddle up, boys. We got to get to praying. We've got people to minister to. We've got things to take care of. Spiritual leaders, they grow as they lead. And not that I would consider myself a spiritual leader because I still got a lot of things to figure out, but there's definitely testimony in my life of you realize a lot of times from the way that you fall, not to fall like that again, not to trip there again. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to trip somewhere else because the adversary is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you grow as you lead. That's just what happens. Nobody just arrives as a leader. We don't just look out and say, well, that's the person that we need to lead X, Y, and Z because they have it all figured out. No, we've watched them. I mean the pastoral team and the leadership. We've watched them grow. And so that's what spiritual leaders, they grow as they lead. We got to keep moving. Another thing that we see in verse 15 to 20, he talks about Judas. I don't have time to read it again, but he's talking about Judas Iscariot, right? And how he was one of the apostles, and then he falls. And so here's the next thing you need to know about spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders, they can fall. Spiritual leaders can fall. And nobody really likes to talk about this. I don't like to talk about this. Nobody likes to point out the elephant in the room when it's like, where's the guy who used to lead this thing? Now, where's the guy who... wasn't this guy a pastor? Where's he at? Right? Nobody likes to talk about this. Spiritual leaders can fall. And so here's just my question to you. Are we following a man or are we following Christ? Because that's what happens. You want to know what church splits are all about? It's usually people get caught up in following a man or multiple men, and then when one of them falls morally, it can be through, typically in the church it's either sex or money, but it's not always that. When they fall morally, then the people don't know what to do and they don't know who to follow. And some of them go this way and some of them go that way. And then they try to justify the sin of this guy. And, I could go through the list of times that I've heard about this, churches I've seen this happen in. I'm not going to get into all that. But here's what I will say. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says this. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul doesn't say just follow me because Paul understands that he's only a man. And even the best men could fall. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Meaning, as long as I'm following Christ, then yeah, you can use me as an example because that's what I'm going to model my life by. But if for whatever reason I stop following Christ, what should you be following? It better be Christ. It better not be me falling off into the ditch, right? That's what happens. People will follow a quote-unquote man, typically somebody who's a really good speaker, somebody that, can really rally the troops, and they'll follow him just right off the edge of the cliff. And it's like, what are we doing here? And we have to make sure we're following Christ and not a man. Accountability is huge when we talk about this. No man or woman, but, typically when we're talking about spiritual leaders, we're talking about, men in the church, and, women play a huge role. spiritually leading in certain areas, but typically it's not a ministry in the church. I'm just putting that out there. So, accountability is huge. No man is ever above having accountability in his life. We should all have somebody that we talk to about just what's going on in our life and what we're struggling with and, you know, how to keep ourselves accountable. Because the second that you think you don't need accountability, then you better watch out. And let me just say this, because I was so naive, you know, I got saved, I was in the church, you know, the people that we were following, I'm like, I hear people say this all the time that, you know, men fall, and I'm like, well, I'm glad that I'm not following guys that could do that, because there's no way. Like, these guys are bought in, they're sold out, and let me just tell you, as soon as you think that it can't happen, it does. And so, and it hurts, and you better make sure that you're following Christ and not a man, because you can fall into the trap really easy. And just the same way that don't ever think that it can't happen here, it has happened here. It has happened at HBF. Okay? And so, nobody likes to talk about it, and I'm not gonna name names or anything else. Some of you have been around long enough, and if you haven't been, praise the Lord, you don't need to, and pray, you know, we're focused. But don't ever think that it can't happen here, and even more importantly, don't ever think that can't happen to me. Because that's where it starts. As soon as you think as a leader, that will never happen to me, the devil's like, all right, I've got you on the hook. Now all I got to do is reel you in. And I hate to be like that, but that's just the truth of the matter. And so that's why as leaders, we have to be just on our knees in prayer all the time, right? Because we are absolutely hopeless without Christ daily. And so anyway, spiritual leaders can fall. Just understand that. That's what he's talking about. They wouldn't be replacing Judas if he hadn't fallen. And so it can happen. You know, it's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, but that's something that happens. Okay, the next thing in verse 20. It says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, that no man dwelleth therein, and his bishopric in another take. So another thing that you're going to find about spiritual leaders is spiritual leaders, they know the word. Some of these are pretty obvious, but let me just say, sometimes you'll get somebody come into the church and they think that if they just take the right classes, they go through the right quote-unquote programs, they do the right quote-unquote things that, oh, I'll be a leader before you know it. Leaders know the word. And if you don't know the word, and if you're not in the word, you're probably not going to grow into a spiritual leader. You're just not. Right? People at HBF, they're not dumb. I'm just, like, there are some churches that I'm not calling the people dumb, but maybe the way they do things is dumb. And they'll just follow as lambs led to the slaughter. I'm just telling you, at HBF, you start doing something dumb as a leader, somebody will call you out. Because people around here know the word. And so if you don't know the word as a spiritual leader, you won't last long. Because you will be humiliated. You don't believe me? Go teach in, you know, one of the top two classrooms in the E-Wing. If you don't know your Bible, these kids will be like, are you sure? I'm like, well, I thought I was. Right? Let me go back. They just will. I'm telling you. That's why I teach the little kids. The little kids. I'm just saying, man. People around here know the word. And so if you ever desire to be a spiritual leader, if you're looking, they know the word. And that's what Peter's talking about. He just, out of nowhere, he pulls this verse out of Psalms. I mean, I don't think he was studying up the night before so he could just pull this verse out. He knew the word. Peter knew what he was talking about. Spiritual leaders, they know the word. That's a reference to Psalm 69:25. I was going to go there, but we don't have time. You can reference it anyway. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 references the qualifications of a bishop or a pastor. And one of those qualifications is not a novice, you know, meaning not a rookie. You know, a rookie is not going to know the word. Somebody, you learn the word by doing it, right? Knowing the word also involves living it out. You actually have to put this thing into action. Right, you got to live out the word if you know the word. The next thing in verse 21 and 23, because I told you I was going to get done, and we're going to. Wherefore, by these men which have company with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John into the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. That's why they need it, because they need 12 guys who were there. 12 guys of one accord that can say, we were here, we saw this happen, right? And it says they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justice, and Matthias. So there's two guys. The next thing you're going to find about spiritual leaders is in verse or number 5. Spiritual leaders, they were followers first. Spiritual leaders didn't just come in as a leader. They were followers first. The disciples followed before they were leaders. Jesus stuck around for 3.5 years training these guys up. They were followers far before they were leaders. And these two guys that they were talking about, Justice and Matthias, these guys were there from the beginning. But they were never mentioned until now. I think that's interesting. There were a whole group of guys. You know, there were a few times, if you follow Jesus' ministry, that there was only the 12. But there were lots of people that were there the whole time, that were following, that were bought into this thing. And, you know, sometimes when people think of HBF, they think of, you know, Pastor Brian and, you know, Pastor Randy. That's just what they think of. You know, sometimes Pastor Steve, because he's got the life issues thing. But I'm just telling you, there are some guys that are in it because they're just in it. They don't really care that they get the recognition or the glory. And that's what these two guys were. Who knows what the rest... It says there was 120 people here. I'm guessing out of that 120, there were at least 50 or 60 of them, probably more, that were there the whole time. Right? Huh?
Groupies.
I mean, yeah, they were Jesus groupies, right? And so they were there from the beginning, but they were never mentioned. And so here's just my question for you, because we all should strive to be a spiritual leader, even if it's just in our home. How long are you willing to serve and follow without man's recognition? Because sometimes that's what we're after. We're after somebody to give us an attaboy. And I'm like, I would rather you never give me an attaboy. That's not what I'm after. If nobody ever told me, you know, hey, you're doing really good at what you're doing. If nobody ever told me that again, and it meant that I got to hear it from the Lord, I would trade that forever. Right? I don't want to be like Johnny Mack, right? I'll never forget that. Jim Stovall was in here teaching on Wednesday night, and we were going through these big preacher names. And I like John MacArthur, right? Some of his doctrine gets a little bit Calvinist, but I like John MacArthur. He's a really bold speaker, but I'd be okay if nobody ever knew me, right? If it meant that when I got there, Christ was like, man, you really did what I asked you to do. And that should be our heart. And so you got to be a follower first. You got to be a follower first. Last couple things. In verse 24 and 25, spiritual leaders are chosen by the Lord. You know, it says that, and they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that they may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. So they're like, okay, Lord, who would you have to do this? Spiritual leaders are chosen by the Lord. The Lord knows the hearts. Make sure you understand that. The Lord knows the hearts. You know, it says right there in the text, show who thou hast chosen. This wasn't just like, okay, guys, let's get together and vote. Who do you like the best? It wasn't like that. The Lord puts on their heart, right? And this is how we operate at HBF, just in case you're wondering. You know, we don't just decide one day, hey, we need to fill a gap. That guy, he's been around for a while. Let's just choose him, right? It doesn't work like that. Typically, if we're looking for somebody to lead a ministry or do something like that, you know, the pastoral team, we pray, and we pray hard about who would God have to do this. Brian prays, you know, I'm telling you, he's, and we get together and, you know, we talk about these things and we pray, because I don't want it to be me who decides these things. You know, if that was the case, we wouldn't ask the church body, who do you think would be good deacons, right? We get the church body's advice on, hey, who's already doing this, right? Deacon. And then we, as the pastoral team, we get together, we look at the list, we pray over the list to make sure that, hey, are these guys doing that? And God, is this who you would have? Because the Lord will reveal his will to you. And so the Lord is the one who chooses these things. Spiritual leaders are chosen by the Lord. Not every church is like that. You know, sometimes it's just who can pay the most. You know, there's pastors for hire out there. You know, I'll go to the church that wants to pay the most. I'm telling you, if that was the case, Brian wouldn't be here. And I hate to be like that. But Pastor Brian is he's way more qualified. Not he's not overqualified for HBF. I'm saying he's overqualified for what HBF pays him. And that's just the truth of the matter. He's in Cass County. And I'm not saying that the church doesn't give enough. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if Brian wanted to, he could be pastoring somewhere that pays insane amounts of money because of the knowledge he has of the Word of God and just the spirit that he has. The fact that he's here just shows, like, he cares about the flock. He cares about God's calling on his life much more than where he could go. Spiritual leaders are chosen by the Lord. And, you know, that's why I buy into this thing so much. That's why I buy into what Brian's doing and, you know, just the way we're going at HBF. Because this isn't about, you know, who's the most qualified or not qualified. Who's the most prolific or whatever. Because, you know, we could get better speakers, this, that, or the other. But we're after people who are after the heart of the Lord. And so, and then the last thing. And this is just kind of really cool, but in verse 26, you know, it says, you know, they gave forth their lots, meaning their votes, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So, anyway, so you might say, well, so here's the last thing. Spiritual leaders are appointed by other spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders are appointed by other spiritual leaders. And you might say, well, you just said that the Lord chose those people, though the Lord does them, but they're appointed by other spiritual leaders. We don't just decide one day, hey, we're going to ordain this guy because, you know, we need somebody else to ordain. No, that's like way down the road. Spiritual leaders are appointed by other spiritual leaders. It's not a popularity contest. Appointing leaders is a huge responsibility. Understand that. And we don't take it lightly. And I don't mean like the leader of a ministry, but I'm talking about like people who are going to lead people. That's a huge ordaining a pastor. That's a sobering thing. When you know that the Word of God says these are the qualifications, that's a sobering thing. Not every quote unquote what you guys call pastors at HBF are ordained. I'm not ordained, right? And I don't think that's a coincidence, and I'm okay with that. There's a proving process that goes into that, and I have no desire for him just to, oh yes, lay your hands on me, because there's so much more responsibility that comes with that. And I'm not just like saying, hey, yes, I need more responsibility in my life. I'm not there. And so just understand that it's a sober responsibility. This is the God-given structure from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it's never changes, right? God chose Saul. They didn't just say, well, hey, Israel, who do you think would be the best leader? God chose Saul, right? God chose David, right, to replace Saul. And it was God's choice through those things, right? Jesus chose the disciples. He didn't just pick anybody. He didn't just say, hey, who wants to follow? He hand-chose the disciples. The disciples, they chose Matthias because God laid it on their heart to do that. Right? God uses the husband as the head or the leader of the home. Why? Because it's God's structure. It doesn't mean that the woman is any less. It just means that that is the way that the structure works. Right? There's protection with it. There's things that go into that. And so here's how I would just kind of wrap this whole thing up. Because some of this is like, what does that have to do? We're not like replacing a pastor today, are we? No, we're not. But this is what was in the text. And for whatever reason, this topic of spiritual leadership just keeps coming up. And so I'm like asking the Lord, okay, God, this is not a coincidence anymore. What are you trying to show me through all this? And so here's just some questions that you need to, you know, maybe ask yourself, and we'll get out of here. Who are your spiritual leaders? And just, you can answer that question. Who are your spiritual leaders? And you might be like, oh, it's the pastor. Well, obviously, duh, right? But who are your spiritual leaders in the home, in the family? Yes, in the church. And then, you know, just go up from there. But who are your spiritual leaders? And then here's the next thing. How are you actually following them? Because that's what the Word of God calls you to do. So now that you've figured out who they are, how are you actually following them? Now you're going back up on the list and you're like, maybe that isn't a spiritual leader, right? Because I'm not following them. So how are you actually following them? And then here's one that just you should meditate on, because we should always fight with this within ourselves. How qualified are you to lead? We should all desire, we should all have a desire to be used of God in that way. Whether he actually does or not, who knows? But there were a lot more than just two guys that were qualified, right? And so that tells me that we should all, how qualified are you to lead? Do you know the Word? If not, why not? Are you not reading it? Right? And are you following first? Because let me just tell you, if you desire to be a leader, which we should all have that desire, and you're not following, you're never going to get there. You have to follow first, right? And let me just tell you, first and last, because you never stop following. Brian is still following. I'm not going to use myself, because obviously Brian is still following, right? You never stop, but you have to start at some point. And so where are you at in that? Okay, and so, okay, in a couple of weeks, we're getting into chapter 2. I know that's what you guys are really wanting to get to, and we'll take it in smaller sections. They won't be as big a chunks, because we need to make sure we bite into that thing just right. And so let's pray. We'll get out of here. We'll keep going. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. And Lord, I'm excited about just church today. I'm excited about baptisms and new life and people willing to follow you. And just knowing that, you know, the Passpoint class just in general had a part in the new life. And God, you're just good to us. You care about the things in our lives. You care about just growing us up in the Lord. And Lord, there are so many bigger things in the world that you could be worried about, and you are, but yet you're intimately desiring to be a part of our life. And so that's just really encouraging to me, Lord. And so I pray you just use even this you know, section on spiritual leaders today to maybe try somebody's heart. I don't know who we were talking to today, but God, I know somebody, you were talking to me, but somebody needs to hear these things. And so I pray that you would just allow these things to simmer in our hearts. I pray for Brian today as he's preaching out in Blue Springs, and I pray that you get the glory from all that. And Lord, I pray you be with Pastor Jeff as he preaches today, and just get the glory from those things. Just be with the operation that Dwayne's having later this week, and I pray that as a class we would just lift him up and the things that are going on tomorrow with Leanne's life, and just all the things that are happening. You know the details of all of our lives. I pray for the marriage conference again, and Lord, I just pray that you get the glory for all of it. And in Christ's name, amen.
Personal record.
Yes.